This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, a look at a man who may be getting the hardest job in the world. First, though, for the second day in a row, the Supreme Court is hearing two cases deemed so important that the justices allowed audio recordings of the arguments to be released.
We'll hear argument first this morning, number 036696, Yasser Isham Hamidi versus Donald Rumsfeld.
That was Chief Justice William Rehnquist opening today's session. The cases involve the rights of two American citizens who've been declared enemy combatants in the war on terror. They are Jose Padilla and Yasser Hamdi. To help us understand the often daunting complexities of the Supreme Court, we have our regular guide to the legal world, Slate and Day-to-Day legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick. Dahlia, welcome back.
Thanks, Alex.
Remind us about the specifics of these two cases, and where are these two guys now?
Well, they both have been held in military brigs. They've been labeled enemy combatants by the president, never having any charges filed against them. There are some differences between Hamdi and Padilla that are worth noting, though, and these were two distinct cases. Hamdi was captured on the battlefield in Afghanistan. He was brought over to Guantanamo, where they figured out that he was actually an American. Then he was shipped to a Navy brig. Padilla was not actually fighting against the United States. He's an alleged dirty bomber who apparently conspired with al-Qaeda. He was captured getting off a plane in Chicago and has similarly been held in indefinite detention since then.
I remember that case. That was a year and a half ago or so he was arrested. Well, that's Padilla. Now here's some. This is some audio from this morning. This is from the lawyer for Yasser Hamdi. His name is Frank Dunham, and this is this morning's argument.
We have never authorized detention of a citizen in this country without giving him an opportunity to be heard, to say, hey, I am an innocent person. He hasn't even been able to say that yet.
Dahlia, is this the basic argument for both Hamdi and Padilla in these cases?
Yes, Alex. I mean, what they are coming to the court with is seeking a writ of habeas corpus. It essentially says, let me have my moment in court. Let me tell you why you're wrong about me. And the justices, I think, at least in the Hamdi case, were quite sympathetic to the fact that there's been no adjudication, no neutral fact finder, no opportunity for Hamdi to sort of tell his side of the story, other than, to quote Justice Souter, when he's being interrogated.
Well, here's the government's lawyer in this same case, the Hamdi case. That's Deputy Solicitor General Paul Clement, and he's speaking during the argument.
Over 10,000 United States troops remain on the field of battle in Afghanistan. No principle of law or logic requires the United States to release an individual from detention so that he can rejoin the battle against the United States.
So, Dahlia, that's the argument here, that things just are different during a war.
Well, they say that the president has power as commander-in-chief to make military decisions, to make decisions that are sort of outside the warp and woof of the criminal justice system. They also say that Congress expressly authorized the president to do things like label people enemy combatants when they had their war authorization.
Dahlia, we heard arguments something like this last week in this case of detainees at Guantanamo Bay. Again, the question came up, well, it's a field of battle. Do these guys, are they ever going to have access to a lawyer or not? How are these different, though?
These are very different because these are both American citizens, for one thing. The Guantanamo detainees are not. And perhaps more importantly, they're being held in the United States. So unlike the Guantanamo detainees, they can claim, I think rightly, that United States courts should have jurisdiction to hear their claims.
This is at least the case last week. People kept referring back to these post-World War II kinds of cases that had to do with World War II precedent, which I guess is the last time we were in this sort of a conflict. Are we still talking about World War II law here?
We are yet again citing to World War II cases, Alex. This time we're talking about a case called Kirin that was bandied around a lot today. That involved a bunch of Nazi saboteurs who tried to sneak into the United States in the 1940s and blow things up. In Kirin, the Supreme Court said, look, they had their military tribunal. They don't get habeas corpus relief. And so a lot of time was spent today comparing this case to that.
Thanks very much, legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick. She writes the jurisprudence column for Slate and joins us regularly on Day to Day. Thank you, Dahlia.
Sure.